mein auf den Supercast.
Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 337. I'm Adam, and Mum always said, with some people, you can smell the wind in their coats. And here's Debbie Melrose, literally.
Did you ever work out what was wrong with your reflection?
Here's Mary Lang.
What the hell?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Andy Nanny.
It's okay, it was cheap.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Is this a knock-through?
Yes. Yes, this week we're very excited to be discussing the pilot.
This is a
new episode of Doctor Who.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I'm thinking that it might be a good idea actually doing a commentary-based discussion, because the amount of time it's going to take us to discuss this particular episode will probably be about the length of the episode itself. So that's what I thought might be a good idea. Is everybody able to watch it in that way? Or do you want me to just scroll through it and talk about random thoughts as we normally do?
Right, I'm on the iPad.
Don't worry about it, Andy. We'll do it in the old scrolling through way, yes.
I'll get it sorted for next time.
Yeah, well,
you could have warned us,
I could have warned you, but then there wouldn't have been any fun involved in that, would there?
Happy birthday, Rhys Parton.
Yes, happy 16th birthday to Rhys Parton. Talking of sonic screwdrivers, where's the sonic screwdriver gone? There's one over there.
Hang on. I'm not sat on it.
Felicia's picture.
Yeah.
There's a sonic screwdriver there.
I don't want to knock anything else over.
Yeah, you better not do.
There we go.
There we go. Look, it's a very appropriate Noddles sonic screwdriver.
We need a pot with a load of them in on our desk.
Hold on, sonic screwdriver.
There it is. Yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah.
You say you wanted some pot.
No, I said we need a pot full of sonic screwdrivers.
Never mind.
I might have to put all my sonic screwdrivers
if you're
in
offering.
The pot. Now. But the trouble is, I have to find them all first, and they're all over the building. But anyway, that's just happened to be a hand. I've got this one as well, actually.
So anyway, it's interesting to find out that Nardole is part robot.
And yeah, that was a bit vague because he went to the toilet. So
yeah, he went to the toilet, but he was also falling apart. So maybe parts of him are cyborg.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me because the Doctor had to create something for his head to go on, didn't he?
Yeah. Mm. So maybe he's made him part humantronic and part animatronic type thing.
Anyway,
he's probably like 4x3 Harding man rather than a $6 billion man, though, isn't he?
Something like that, yes. I'd have to say. Let's make sure that your audio is recording. So, go on, say something, Kirby, for once. That's unusual.
So I'm sure that there are all sorts of fascinating Easter eggs besides the ones, the obvious ones, in the Doctor's office.
Cool.
Well, I've got this Easter egg. It's a lovely Cadbury's Dairy Milk Easter egg. Is that the thing you're talking about, Kirby?
Happy Easter.
No.
No, okay.
Oh, I'm talking about eggs, interesting things.
It's Easter Sunday. He's talking about Easter.
You mean like with the picture of Susan and River on the desk?
The picture of Susan and River, the container of Sonics, the Raven, at least I'm assuming that's a raven.
It looked like a raven.
There's one I got last year. You might appreciate that one being a rugby
Easter
fan.
Egg.
With milk chocolate flavoured jazzies.
I wonder why he chose River and Susan and not Amy.
Because River is his wife. And Amy is... it's the other one. Sorry. Susan's his granddaughter. So it's a family thing, I think. That's why.
Right, it's a family.
Disney is part of the family. So is Rory.
Was the first companion, and River was the most recent companion to appear in the Christmas special. So it's first to last.
That's a very good point.
Ooh. I didn't think that. I just thought the family thing.
Yeah, but so is Amy and Rory. Yeah.
Now, they're not essentially family apart from his wife's parents.
They're in-laws.
Yeah. They're not close as in his wife and granddaughter. Although you would have thought there'd be a picture of his daughter or son on there as well, wouldn't they? But they don't know who that is. But anyway, yes, a good point. But I'm glad they were on the desk because it was quite nice.
There's a Batman-type bust of Shakespeare.
Batman-type bust of Shakespeare? What's he on about?
In the office, if you look in the office.
Oh, yeah, I've seen the book. There was Beethoven and Shakespeare, wasn't it? I thought you said Batman.
He said Batman.
I said Batman.
Yeah.
You did. Okay.
Wait, you lift the bust underneath the chin of the bus, and then you flip the switch.
Your glasses are steaming up now.
You flip the switch, and then you find the bat poles.
Let's move on with the story, right then.
What? You never watched
never
the
Never mind,
Adam
Kirby.
West
right, the story begins in a very grand
orifice.
There's an empty room, basically, for about 10 seconds until Nardole sort of ambles in with his rather badly functioning animatronics. Yes?
Master, who got a nice Shada feeling out of this?
Yeah, that particular, the room. I agree. It was Shada-esque, yes. And he welcomes Bill into the room. Bill's
well, and also, what is it, family of blood?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it was a bit, yes. So Bill sits down while Nardole kicks a bit of himself underneath the table. So she waits.
But you notice after that thing dropped, he went very quiet. He stopped creaking, didn't he?
Yes.
Oh, no, I didn't notice that.
Oh, true.
Bill has a nose around the room. Bill has a nose around the room and
conveniently for
half
us.
Notices the TARDIS.
I like the out of order sign again. Throw back to the original pilot episode.
Yes, nothing. I hadn't thought of that. Andy was really
Andy's
watching this carefully.
Andy's on top form.
Really,
yeah, yes. I think I
reckon,
I know who
I reckon we should have him on the show today.
He's Andy's too far away from the microphone. I can't hear him.
Yeah, I can't hear him either.
Apparently, you're too far away from the microphone, Andy.
The thing
I'm
in the bell jar.
I'm on the iPad and conservatory. Is that any better?
That's great. Thank you.
A little bit, but what did you say that Adam commented on that we couldn't hear you?
The out of order sign is a throwback to the visual episode, isn't it?
Yes.
Hang on, I've got my notebook now.
Now we can hear you.
that's because I've got my nose up against
Alan
the iPad.
Alan T. Butcher says a picture of his mother-in-law.
Yeah, there's a lovely shot that Debbie's sort of going on about of the pot full of the sonic screwdrivers. Then you can see sonic screwdriver. You can see Pertwee's one there.
I'm just trying to work out what's in the bell jar. It looks a bit like sort of tangled lights.
Isn't that stuff that
TARDISes grow from?
Could be. Possibly. I thought it looked a bit like that stuff, the scribbly stuff from the world's least favourite story. Maybe
the
not.
Girl or something. Yeah.
The one where the girl was doing all the drawings and they all came to life.
Yeah, but it looks like a bot. Like it does look like that.
Do you know? I've just noticed looking in that pot that there's two sonic screwdrivers of the ninth and tenth, but they're side by side. You see, like this one here.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Never noticed that.
So is that significant?
Basically, a collection of sonic screwdrivers. So I thought this was Nardole's one, but it isn't, because there's the one in there. That's the one on the right hand side. It's the one on the right hand side. No, it's the one next to it.
Yeah, there you go.
People, obviously, viewers who won't know what I'm talking about, but if you pause the video just when they do the shot of the pot of sonic screwdrivers, you can have a little perusal. It's a bit like going to Doctor Experience and seeing them all on display, in a way. So Bill's waiting around.
Dun, 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 dun.
And the doctor turns up.
Oh, yes. Playing.
Dun, 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 dun.
Right, thank you. A little bit of music on his guitar.
Beethoven's Fifth.
I thought at the time while watching this scene that he was actually interviewing for a new companion.
It feels like it.
Yeah. But for some reason.
Except there are signs later that he's already picked her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so he's. He's basically trying to, because she's just the dinner lady who serves the chips, isn't she? She turns up at all his.
I did wonder, because obviously you're picking up in this first scene on the hints, because there's always hints in them and little Easter eggs, conveniently enough. Her necklace, she's got a very interesting looking, like, geode or something, sort of polished geode hanging from her neck.
I tried to see what that necklace was, but I couldn't figure it out. Did you?
It's green flashing, like almost like kryptonite.
Yeah. I hadn't noticed
flashing. That. Maybe just the way the light kept reflecting up.
Yeah, it's the way the light keeps
James
reflecting.
Norton has joined, so we better be a bit more professional. Obviously, these people don't know who James Norton is, but if I say the word podshock... Now, you must start behaving yourself, Kirby. Right, yes, and also now, Alan T. Butcher
says... I need you guys to give me a little lesson in British slang. Is someone actually going to say she looked at you and you perved?
That's short for pervert.
I know it's what it's short for.
My own daughters used to say that. Yeah.
Mine didn't, so...
Anyway, Alan T. Butcher says, sonic screwdrivers. That's the collective noun. Sonic screwdrivers. Anyway, so basically the doctor interviews Bill because he wants to give a personal tuition. It sounds a bit dodgy, really, for this old bloke, giving her personal tuition after 6 p.m. Every night. But she's turned up at all his lectures. And I love the actual cutback to his lectures.
Have you seen the books behind him? They look like Dalek casing.
No, I hadn't noticed that, actually. Okay.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah, there's lots of weird hints and little ideas about what's coming. Yeah, and the globe and things like that.
Did, did you get when he did the lectures? They short, he was brilliant. I think Capaldi could be easily a university lecturer, but it reminded me a bit of Doctor. You've just broken
I've
something.
I've broken
again.
Something else. Oh.
Professor Brian Cox's. what have you broken now?
Oh yeah.
Air duster. Yeah.
The guy he reminded.
Yeah, sorry.
The other guy he reminded me of, a guy called Professor Stephen Jones, who does a lot of talk about Reddit. Have any ever heard of him?
I don't know, but it was either one that used to do those sort of lectures that Cox did. Remember, he did a special
one.
Does he do the Infinite Monkey Coach?
What? I think he did as well. He also did TV adverts for Renault when he was talking about genetics and things like that, because he's big on that. Oh. And he's very well known, like a pop scientist, if you know, a bit like Brian Cox, people like that.
Yeah.
But he reminded me very much of that.
Anne-Marie Blackall.
Hi, Anne-Marie Blackall. Yeah, so that's essentially what the opening scene is.
I serve chips. No, you're going to learn.
Yeah, but what's your name? What do I call you? Dr. What?
So
I love the fact they still got the current title sequence. Because
I was
going to
say, I couldn't spot any change in title sequence.
I did, but it now says...
This is last year, so I'm hoping for too much.
What are you hoping for?
Oh,
Mary? I said I would have changed that.
Why?
The title sequence, because I've never liked it.
Have you not? Oh, I like it.
To me, it's
let's have a vote. Who likes this title sequence? Hands up.
I do.
Yeah, definitely.
And Mary's
not me.
Again, right? We're gonna have to play the drama.
I know it's a kids show, but that sounds.
It's not a kids show. Stop playing with a sonic screwdriver. Anyway, right. As I say, we're talking about
There's Heather with her star.
Yeah, Heather's watching the doctor's lecture as well.
The trouble is, Moffat always spoon feeds you that's going to be an important person in the show, because you watch.
Do you think she's
going to
be permanently?
In this episode, he always shows you, makes clear that this person's going to be important in some way. He always just makes it obvious, and he just because I know he's bowing out, but it's just become a little bit by the book.
Ian Kirk's joined. Hello, Ian. I will say that
they also showed us the girl that Bill made fat by feeding her too many chips.
Yes,
she's going to play a part in this, but she didn't.
I did notice that it was quite interesting the fact that she wore quite a lot of different costumes and hairdos and stuff like that. Obviously, it was set over a long period of time. This is why.
Funny how it was snowing at Christmas again.
I know, Deb said about that. Yeah, sorry, Andy.
I'd say it's at least 6 months. It starts in summer, then goes to winter, and he probably finishes in spring. So you're probably talking 6 to 9 months time period, aren't you?
Yeah. So obviously that implies a build-up of a relationship between her and the doctor, and maybe her and
Heather
which you don't really see that much of. So they know it quite each other. Well, I can't speak. They know each other quite well by the end of the story, which is you don't really appreciate that much. You just got to think about the fact that they've been together in the university lecturing each other, one lecturer and the other, for all that time. Sorry, the dog is being a pain.
Sorry.
So, yeah, it's established quite quickly, like they said, in the tried to inflate the importance of that Bill was gay. It was really...
Interspecies.
So what? So, yeah. So what?
Do either of you... Obviously, you're Kirby, Mary, you won't. Do either Mary and Deb... Not Mary, but Debbie and Adam. Do you two read the Daily Telegraph?
No.
There's an interview with Bill Mackey in yesterday's paper. I've actually still got it. I'll try and put it on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
But... they're saying about apparently it was originally going to be a male character, and then she was lusting after. Then they said, well, it should be a woman, it works better.
Yeah.
So the whole thing that she's being gay is like completely irrelevant.
It is, so long as they're good actors and good stories, I don't mind at all what their orientation is.
You know that YouTube video, the official fan video? They interviewed Stephen Moffat and Pearl Mackey. In that, I've only been able to watch about half of it.
Yeah.
But Stephen Moffat also says he was watching Pearl talk about a man in that scene and changed it at that point because it didn't seem right.
That's what was in the interview. I'll try and post it up or link to it.
Yeah, do it.
But also the Daily Mail in Britain. This is the benefit of the Americans. This is quite a right wing newspaper. Apparently, one of their columnists has been raging about it. Apparently, attacking the sort of typical heterosexual male who are perving over girl on girl action. It's like, what girl on girl action? I mean,
yeah.
It's quite interesting. Sometimes you see articles in news publications of people that was written by people that clearly haven't watched what they're you know, criticising. It's like people who just come up to you and tell you that Doctor Who's rubbish, and you know they have never watched it. You know, it's just ridiculous. Right, so
looked like he was puffing perfume.
Have we had the scene where she goes to the puddle yet? Because there's a scene in which she spots the Doctor and Nardole acting a bit strangely.
Master, you're getting ahead of things.
You've been talking through it.
The actress who played her foster mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Jennifer Hennessy, who has been on Doctor Who before. She was in Gridlock, married to Arnold O'Hanlon's character.
You're right. Thank you. I thought you were finished. I couldn't place it.
I thought I'd seen her somewhere before. Try not to knock the table. The microphone's on it.
She seems awfully young to be a foster mother, though.
Why young?
Lastly.
Well,
you know, you can be any age to be a foster mother.
I guess.
Right. Anyway.
Oh, and another thing dealing with that, when she's going through all of Bill's papers that the doctor has been grading, one of them is very interesting. They're all very technical looking. One of them says laser cooling of ions, atomic clocks, and quantum jumps. But then the actual text is a biblical quote.
Wow. I didn't notice that.
Have
you been pausing the picture by any chance, Kirby? The only time I did that is when the trailer for the whole series was on. I was pausing frame to frame.
You've been doing that for a long time. I posted a memory from the first year you were doing the podcast.
So now you did, yes.
Where Alicia was teasing you for doing that to trailers.
Yes, she was. I did find out yesterday Alicia hates Doctor Who. And we also established that Isabella hates Doctor Who too, but she feels a bit more guilty about it than Alicia does. That's why Isabella has been fired from the show.
Why she's not on.
She's fired, yeah. She needs to be a fan of Doctor Who. I was saying that there's no point of being on the show if she doesn't like the show.
Anyway. Well, Adam, that you and Alfie, are you going to get cracking on, get another daughter or child then to get another one?
We're working on Isla coming up on this one, actually.
Yeah, I think Stormy's a little bit too young, yes.
Laurie Nick says,
waves ecstatically. John Nasta says, hello, happy Easter, everyone.
Hello, John Nasta. Right then. Anyway, can we get back to the story?
Only one of my three daughters has watched this, and that was Fred.
Mm.
And she liked it. But the other two, first of all, my Mary won't watch anything after the 11th Doctor. And
that's not quite Julius, hating Doctor Who, is it?
Julia is just too busy with her last couple of weeks of university that she just doesn't have time.
Okay.
So she might, in a couple of weeks' time, she might then.
And you have to realize that Kirby doesn't have info text anymore with these episodes. So he's got to dig into the actual episodes themselves and make it.
Good one. Yeah, right. Can we get back to the story? For goodness sake. Right then. So
Bill has followed
the Doctor and Nardole down to the vault. And I love the line where... he said, what did you set the security to? And he said, friends only.
Friends. Yeah.
Friends only.
It was quite amusing. Of course, she has to knock something and they realise she's there. And, and then she goes off and bumps into a miserable Heather.
Yeah, this is when she goes to the puddle.
Back with the vault. Obviously, the vault is going to be at least part of the season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Unless it's a MacGuffin.
Yeah. It could be the elephant in the room that no one talks about.
It's interesting they decided not to go down the route of having Whole Hill School.
This is setting up the season arc.
Yeah.
Well, Master, someone has pointed out that there's a sign down in the vault area that says Marie Celeste.
Yeah,
yes,
it was there, yes.
And we know all about what happened with the doctor in that.
We do, yes. Anyway, so Bill follows Heather to a puddle.
She asks to show Bill, doesn't she? She trusts her enough to show her.
Yeah.
What's the problem with it? You know, what's wrong with it?
You initially think that she's going to get taken in by this puddle because Heather leaves her behind, but nothing really happens on that particular occasion, apart from the puddle saying, found the pilot or something like that.
We have found pilot acquired.
Your standard Doctor Who alien, sinister alien voice.
Yes.
Then we jump to Christmas and Bill's bought the Doctor
and
a mug.
And it's snowing in England again, honestly.
that's for the benefit of the American audience, who obviously think it always snows everywhere on Christmas, even in Australia.
When was the last time you saw any snow?
Two years ago.
Very severe frost on Christmas.
Yeah, two years ago for me. Mm.
2 years ago it snowed at the end of April.
Oh, no, I'm talking about... Was I talking about Christmas? Were you talking about snow at Christmas?
Yeah.
Last time I saw it snow at Christmas, it did snow literally for about 2 minutes.
I was 10.
Yeah, it gets snowy in December, then it warmed up and no more snow the rest of winter.
Yeah,
the last time I saw snow at Christmas was 10. We went to Australia. We flew out.
Went to Australia and you saw snow?
The day we flew out, it was snowing. It was really bad snow.
Is there snow in Australia?
Yeah. We walk around in shorts in 25 degrees, but it's snowing in Melbourne, yes. It's really bizarre, Christmas. Celebrating Christmas in blazing sunshine was really bizarre.
Anyway, back to the story. The Doctor hasn't bought Bill a Christmas present, but she talks about her mum, and then he goes and she's suddenly got loads of pictures of her mum. Now, I reckon this woman's going to be in the series later on, the actress who played her mum on the photos, because I recognise that face. I've seen her in other shows. Hello.
Might go back with her.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is they travel back.
Yeah, I think they will meet.
Hang on a minute. The doctor actually said at one point that you can't go back, or he intimated about it, didn't he, Bill?
But you said that before, and with Rose, we went back and
that was like an alternate universe type thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think she will meet her mum. What do you reckon, Deb?
I'm hoping so, actually.
No, I think we will.
And since we keep seeing the picture of Susan related to this.
Mm. Yes.
Susan has something to do with this.
Okay. So you reckon we're going to see Carol Ann Ford sometime?
I did wonder the initial bit when we first saw the pictures. Obviously, I didn't think what Andy obviously suggested, you know, first companion, latest companion, makes a lot of sense. I thought, is Bill related in some way?
To who?
I think
to the Doctor.
Knowing it's related in some way.
You reckon?
Moffat doesn't do anything alone. He always lays out...
Yeah. No, he plays tricks that Moffat does, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because she doesn't know her family very well.
Exactly.
Does she?
And I know that it's set in the future, obviously, where what happens with Susan, but she's a Time Lord.
Well, the thing is that Susan's been established in Big Finish to be a completely separate storyline.
And we now know that Big Finish is essentially canon.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of the few Big Finishes I've listened to.
Okay, well, I've got this one to listen to.
Jill Harris joined.
Who has?
Jill Harris.
Oh, that's my mummy. Hello, my mummy.
How do you know her?
My mum, no. Anyway, moving on. Right, so Bill flirts with... She looks a bit happy at this occasion, doesn't she, Heather? When she lures Bill to the puddle. But she does make a promise not to leave her, which, of course, you then rather...
Which, of course, we don't think anything of until...
Which is clever.
And then you see her gasping in the puddle and dying, and it's like... Mm.
Yeah, that's a bit spooky, a bit creepy, but I like that.
Oh.
Yes?
Master, when the doctor points out the scorch marks... I had another flashback to Remembrance of the Daleks for that one.
Yes, I thought of that.
Well, there's a flashback to what's the 1979 story, the last Nation one, with the Movellians.
Well, the Movellians, but we're not to that point yet.
Oh, never mind. Moving on, right, and so...
If you're going to bring up the Movellians, point out...
Pots there.
Debbie spotted something. I'm just rewinding the video.
Have you seen next to the Beethoven bust? There's two cans of something.
Two cans? Oh, two cans? Are they a British bird? I don't think they are.
It says gold or gold on it.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I love the bit. She's telling the doctor about the puddle and everything. And the doctor suddenly, she's looking out the window and then sees the doctor running a bit like a penguin.
Yes.
Like fire.
Dealing with the Movellans, I was right. A few weeks ago, I made the point that they were likely only going to have the Movellans for a few seconds.
It was, literally.
I was absolutely right.
You were absolutely right.
Oh, God, guess the bell. Thank you. All right. Don't get any points for this, Kirby, but I know you want to hear it.
Thank you.
The Doctor then finds the puddle very interesting and discovers that it's not reflecting, it's actually mimicking. So yes, when you look in, it's like looking into a digital reflection of yourself rather than a mirror.
Yeah.
Which is
They did that very well.
They did. Although it doesn't quite work entirely if you look quite carefully when it's at a different angle. It reflects, as you see from that one, it's actually reflecting everything like a mirror. Yeah, you see the buildings there. Only when people look into it.
They're actually reflected, they're not.
Yes.
They're not where they would be wrong.
But they could have actually corrected that minor detail during the editing process. But I think they like to throw things like that in just for us to say, oh, they got that bit wrong. So at this point, the Doctor realises that it's mimicking them and the scorch marks there as well. Which are, like you say,
thank
it's
you
a like
yes,
remembrance
later,
of the Daleks, like you say, Kirby.
Take the night off, go and do what students do. There you go. Yes.
Yeah.
So she goes home, and this is quite funny. And
passenger requires.
Yeah, it's very. The lights are off. This was quite a clever scene, actually. The lights on, it was a bit spooky. And there's a call from Mum, because you initially think, she thinks Mum's in the shower.
I'll make a cup of tea.
Conveniently phones her, which makes her think Mum's other boyfriend is in the flat. Of course it isn't. And there's a bit of a psycho scene, isn't it? With the shower.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I thought it was psycho as well, definitely.
It's
very,
the eye.
Very creepy. Yeah.
This is where I thought, maybe not letting a six-year-old watch this one. She'll never go in the bath again.
I think it was quite scary, quite creepy, but I think about right for Doctor Who.
It was perfect.
I thought it might. Yeah, sorry, Kirby.
Sometimes Fred has issues with some of the scary scenes, even though she is 23, but still. She didn't have any problems
21.
With the scene.
Not you, the
other
one.
No, I know. I'm 40 this year.
<God damn>. I know these people boasting about how old it is to be 40 when she's 10 years younger than me. Anyway, moving on. Stop grinning.
It's the oil. It's the oil effect on the water that I like, that they sort of make sure you see that.
Yeah. There's some lovely bits where she looks down the plug hole.
Yeah,
sees
the
eye.
Yeah,
she's
the star eye. Yeah.
And there's also some lovely bits of when she rises up, you know, from the ground, and she's quite serene. And then suddenly she lunges at her.
It's screaming.
It's brilliantly creepy. It reminds me of
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that bit.
Yes.
Very Weeping Angels, too. Yeah, I mean, you know, one minute, the other, and then they're like, rah!
It's the way she floats towards her when she first realises it's Heather and that she's dripping. And that Heather is just in this fog of water. And as Bill walks towards her, she just glides towards her.
Wanted to reuse the Waters of Mars effect.
I did think of that. But also, there's a scene, you know, under that tree. It reminded me of, you know, the one when they're at that haunted house and the woman from Call the Midwife's in it. I can't remember what it's called now. I wish I could tell with titles. It was like a haunted house story.
Robert
McIntyre joint.
Hello, Robert McIntyre. Sorry, you were saying, Kirby?
Yeah, I know the episode. I'm trying to remember what it is. I never think of her as being called Midwife. I think of her as playing...
somebody will come up with the title in a minute.
Playing Verity in Adventurous Space.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about, so, as like I say, she lunges at her and Bill runs into... the Doctor's still at work late at night. Very dedicated, isn't he? And what
he's looking at the water sample.
Yeah, he is. Well done, Kirby. Yes.
You're dead.
Yeah, it's so creepy, but it's so brilliant. It reminded me a bit of like Midnight, you know, because there was a bit of that in there as well. So you notice, remember the title of that story. Such a brilliant effect. And not so much the water running off her, but her rising up.
Yeah.
And the effects they use, obviously digital water, but it looks brilliant. Yeah, sorry, somebody's trying to say something. I'm talking, I'm rambling, nobody's talking, that's good.
Sean Bradshaw, hi.
Hi, Robert McIntyre, yeah. And hi, Sean Bradshaw.
Sean Bradshaw says, hide? Question mark.
Well, I wouldn't be able to do the podcast if I was hiding.
Yes.
Oh, hide the story.
That's it.
Yeah. Yes.
who's the male lead in Hyde? It's got, trying to think of his name. Hyde.
The male lead?
In Hyde.
I was going to look it up, but I stopped looking when someone said Hyde.
Yeah, I'm sure Sean would come up with the male lead of Hyde. What did you say?
James Nesbitt?
I think he's been a doctor.
Different
he was a candidate to be the doctor. Anyway, right, so this is where we get the doctor says, get into the blue box.
Oh,
and,
I love this the way her voice starts echoing.
I just love the way he switches all the lights on and that the TARDIS sort of interior sound effects.
Yeah. We're taking a long time to get here, aren't we?
Your
it takes us so long to
we've
appreciate
had
it.
Over 50 years of people being revealed, the TARDIS being revealed to people. How can you make it a new thing for us, the fans?
But, and I never get tired of it.
No, it's
a
really
knock
good.
Through.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And that's great stuff. But she didn't do the running in and out thing at this point, and not at all the toilet.
Well, you can't, because really you funny. Can't get around the other side.
A minute.
But she never did get to go to the toilet at that point. When they got to Australia, she did, though.
No, she only ran in to wash her face.
I love Nardole's comment. I thought it was hilarious, that was.
You better give that a minute.
that's a really blokish comment.
Yeah. And then they go down to investigate the vault, because they think that it might be after what's in the vault.
Yeah.
But then they just start hearing dripping, don't they? And, yeah. Decide to test it.
Yeah. Yes,
Master.
Bigger on the inside.
The doctor says that the creature wants to kill them. There is no evidence that the creature ever wants to kill anybody.
Well, you look at that.
He doesn't
nasty
know that
face.
At that point. Well,
imagine that you're screaming. Then yeah.
I've got to drink my tea. It's going to go.
That would be the first thought I'd have.
Yeah, I'd probably run.
It's me.
Yes. So I'm just drinking my tea.
Anyway,
and Deb's going to mop up the mess she made from. There's a little bit of a puddle under Deb at the moment, but it's because she spilt the tea. Everybody,
sorry.
Use the toilet for goodness.
She's in the toilet as well. Yes.
What you were saying something, Winnie, just a second ago about the when she realises it's bigger on the inside.
Yeah, it's bigger on the inside. He goes, there we go. It's taking a long time to
they
get
should,
there.
They should shake hands. They should have done a high five, shouldn't they?
We're the way.
That was a lovely nod to the doctor. Yeah, well, not a high five, but a handshake. Very English.
But the thing is, it makes you wonder as well how many people since Nardole's been with the doctor that they've experienced someone seeing the TARDIS for the first time because he's like an old hand at it. It's like, it's taking longer than usual.
Well, I have to say, on the subject of Nardole, I actually love his character and him being in Doctor Who. I just hope that he's going to be in for a bit longer than this.
They were actually the main thing about this time. Tom was saying proper companions.
Certainly Nardole. Yeah, he does know a bit technical, but he doesn't go on about it. He just does it, and he's like a subordinate of the Doctor. He just does what he's told, and he's totally supportive of him.
He's like the canine,
but he owes him a lot.
He's the tin dog in this one.
Exactly. I love his character.
Sorry, Kevin.
This is the first time they've managed to sneak a companion on us without really doing it.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a great companion. Hope he stays on. Brilliant. So we moving on. I also like his costume in this story. It's really quite good.
It's almost mimicking the Doctor's.
Yeah, you see the Mary Celeste sign
because
there.
Obviously the Doctor's put him back together and everything. So he's kind of got a Doctor outfit.
Yeah, you see, obviously he's a big fan of the Doctor's after him saving his life and stuff. So they're back in the TARDIS and they do a few little hops.
Mm-hmm.
Australia.
I do like the reveal. I recognise the skyline, but I was just like...
Yeah, then when you step to one side, there's the Opera House.
Yeah.
And what gets me is...
Work out where they filmed that from. It was meant to be from the rocks because we've been there and it's... It's bloody hell, we were there.
No, I'd love to go there. But no, what got me was the extras didn't look very, very realistic because they were all sober.
I'm disappointed that Julia hasn't watched this yet because she's stood right there too this past Christmas. So
the paving does rather look a little bit like...
Cardiff Bay.
Yes.
Shark attack in a bar.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Shark attack.
Also noticing the windows are round and stuff like that was quite interesting.
I like the fact he just walks into the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say something about.
He would
that.
Do.
Hey, come on.
Yeah.
Obviously a gentle toilet.
Yeah.
Which will mean something to add in the deli.
sorry, this is when she asks, are you from Earth? Are you from a planet? Of course I'm from a planet, you know.
I'm not from space. Yeah. Nobody's from space.
I thought the Christopher Eccleston in his first story was
saying every planet has a north. Well, yeah.
Every planet, exactly. There were so many comparisons between this and Eccleston's first story.
Yes, it has to be
consistent, and it was. And also, I quite like the fact that when you get the moisture starting appearing on the mirror as well. I love
that she points out TARDIS. If you're from another planet, why would you name your box something in English? Yeah.
It's English, right? Yeah.
Well, I haven't really thought about that.
Yeah, it's really good. Let's move on. And then they land on a planet that reminded me of the planet of the Ood.
I agree with that.
No, let me say what I thought it reminded me of. If you ever watched a Sarah Jane Adventures story that also featured Matt Smith in it, they were taken to the planet.
And it reminds
me a bit of that planet.
Yeah.
I love the little things moving around and stuff floating in the air and everything.
Lemon drops, and we managed to
fit a quarry into this episode.
Quarry, Daleks, all sorts of things. Yeah. Time travel, space travel.
Well, people were moaning about the Daleks feature, and I think it is a contractual thing. They have to have to use them. They have to have them every series. So it was only a cameo appearance in this particular story.
So I hope so.
And the way they used them was quite enjoyable. Mm. Yeah. And then we have a puddle appearing on the planet, which.
Grabs her by the face.
Yes. Making that face as well.
Bit drafty, was it, Mary?
You right there, Mary?
What's the matter?
I don't know.
Was it drafty?
My next door neighbor loves to mow his lawn always on these Sundays when we do his recording. And he loves to just leave his big mower sitting running really loudly in the driveway right next door. So I thought you all could hear it.
The story is quite interesting, though. But yeah, what was great, after they pulled her away from the hand, that reminded me of a bit of Hand of Fix. There's a quarry, hand-grabbing face. Mm-hmm. This great big sort of load of water, and a face appears.
It looks like a cyber.
Let's have a look, shall we?
We're going to pause that. Yeah, look.
Yeah,
it looks like a cyber.
This really works
well. It does look a bit, doesn't it?
On audio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but this no. is what.
Well, I can't wait.
It does look like a Cyberman.
Basically, I'll try and explain the scene just before when they're on that alien planet with the lemon drops. As they're about running into the TARDIS, there's a great big plume of water and a face starts to form in a plume of water, sort of very metallic looking face.
I thought it looked like a cyber. I thought it looked like classic Cyberman.
That
it
means
really
it was.
Yes,
did.
I agree.
Yeah.
It could have
it
been.
Didn't look that way to me. It looked like it was Heather's head emerging pretty loud.
It could have been, but it didn't look like
it. Yes, it starts as head.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be that, but it didn't look like that when we watched it back, or paused it back, I should say. So the Doctor decides that they need to go to the hottest place in the universe, and this is where he gives Nardole, which I essentially think it's the fourth Doctor's sonic screwdriver, or at least one of them.
Yes.
We don't have a sonic.
Tough.
Get one eventually.
I really should get my sonic screwdrivers together.
I've got two of the 11th Doctor's sonics. I need a fourth.
Why do you need four 11th Doctor sonics?
Kirby, you just get a third one. Then you can get a fourth one, can't you?
Anyway, back to the story. So they arrive on Skaro, and I love Nardole's attitude. Be quiet. I love Nardole's attitude when he's, oh, we don't really want to go there.
Makes you think that's Skaro?
That's not Skaro.
Where is it then, darling?
Yeah, why Skaro?
That's the Time War. They're on Gallifrey.
Oh, are they?
No, it's not the Time War.
This is the Movellan Dalek War,
but it's not Skaro.
Oh, is it? I apologise. I must have got that one wrong. Doesn't happen very often.
The Movellans all running in there, and it's like they've just turned up, and they don't say. They do say at some point the Doctor has been recognised as being there, but he's just arrived. So
yes, the Movellan Dalek War didn't occur entirely on Skaro.
Right. I apologise. I got it wrong. Laurie Nick says, at the conclusion of the episode, I did wonder why Puddle Heather was so menacing when she really just wanted a cuddle. Best point so far.
Yeah, that gets a ding.
Ding. Waiting for us to get there before I talked about that. Yeah.
But these scenes are quite good because the Doctor sort of wants to see if the Dalek can destroy the puddle Heather, as we now will call her.
Exterminate.
That's
exterminate,
brilliant, isn't it? Exterminate. I really enjoyed
and
that.
And that also explains where, remember in the trailer, we were wondering why Puddle Heather was saying exterminate. People were saying, what is she, a Dalek?
Yeah, she was.
She was.
And of course, then the Puddle Heather turns into Dalek Heather. And that was a brilliant effect.
With a star.
The Dalek
went all
watery. And
the first young girl to turn into a Dalek but protect the Doctor.
Yeah. Are you talking about Clara?
Yes.
Or Oswin Oswald, as she was at that particular time.
Good for you.
But the point in which this is, Isabella did watch this episode, even though she apparently hates Doctor Who, and said, "Oh, that's really good." When it does this, Debbie, when it does its meltdown from Dalek to puddle,
to Heather.
And then back into Heather again. She looks like she's had a punch in both eyes, though. It has to be said.
She's dead. She's getting better.
Laurie next said to cuddle. Well, does that mean we've got to have a cuddle?
Where's the dog gone?
No, talking about cuddle, I wanted to have a look at Wooly 5 up there and how he looks at the present time. You have to stand up because you might not see it from down there. Wooly 5 is sitting in a very inappropriate position and Voldemort's wand is somewhere.
Protruding where Voldemort's wand surely should not
be. He's looking very pleased with himself at the moment, but never mind.
It sounds a bit like the Staggering Stories podcast, what they do with Pertwee and people like that.
I can take a picture at some point of Wooly 5 and the way, but I can't actually demonstrate because once I move him, he won't. Oh, God, Deb's going to take the picture of Wooly 5. Anyway, moving on. All right, so what happens here? Where are we at? So basically, Bill, I think, realises that she's put them in this position by...
Sorry, let me know. He's back in a second.
Sorry. Bill's realised that she's put them in this position by getting her to promise to follow her around everywhere. And there's a scene in which... Quite a moving scene of
it
that
is.
In which they say goodbye.
Yeah, they say goodbye, don't they? It's like, this is what could have happened with us. You could have travelled the world... You know, the world
universe
with me.
All the world, I suppose, it would have been. She wouldn't have been with the Doctor, would she?
Which, if she had not met the Doctor, she might have taken her up on it.
Yeah, indeed. True. And
that's true.
There's a point in which the Doctor said, don't, you'll be absorbed into her. And I'm wondering if something of Heather has actually been absorbed...
When she says, I don't think they're mine, you know, about the tears.
Yeah, is that going to come back and haunt us later on in the series?
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay. Well, they could, if they needed it to come and haunt them, they could use
it. Yeah, they
needed
it. Yeah, they will. It can be ruled out.
And, of course, she does eventually let go, and they say, goodbye, Bill.
And she actually says, goodbye, Bill, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Stormy! Yes.
Oh, look, everyone, the viewers can't see it, but Stormy's on.
Stormy.
Hi, Stormy.
Hi.
Here's
a little baby.
Look,
yes,
there's Adam, and there's Debbie, and there's Mary.
Look, we're waving inanely.
Hi, Stormy.
Oh, bless him.
I wants to wave at Stormy.
Anyway, we're nearly at the end of the story. After everything's all sorted out... the Doctor and Bill are back in the Doctor's study, and the Doctor's going to do a David Tennant on
him. The Doctor almost does a Donna, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to do a David Tennant on Bill, but Bill realises what he's going to do. But then she said, okay, you'll have to do it then. But he can't do it. And thank you for that. Andy, can you stop making those noises? He lets her off and essentially... few seconds later, lands the TARDIS in the yard, in the garden, and says, come on, let's go places.
Yeah, run away, because I'm not going to wipe your mind.
But he's left the vault as it is. What's that? Oh, for goodness sake. That's worse than it does in real life. And then we have the wonderful trailer for the new series.
Okay, can I jump in before we do that?
Yes.
Again, I thought the end of this was very much like the end of Rose, where the Doctor then said, do you want to come along or not? And she ran in. And you see exactly the same. There's so many parallels I found between this and Rose.
Yeah, there was that.
I really think this is almost a reboot, if you get what I'm coming from. Because again, it's restart the whole. There's so many things explained, so many similarities.
I'm wondering whether they did that because Rose was such a big success for Doctor Who.
Yeah,
and they knew they had to do something because popularity has been dropping like a stone.
Indeedy, but they have put it up not opposite Britain's Got Talent. Britain's Got Talent. They've put it opposite Paddy McGuinness's programme.
Yeah, won't date, or something. I don't know.
It's gonna take me out. Oh, date, won't date. Yes.
I like where he looks at the picture of Susan and the picture of River, and then you notice the lights in the TARDIS flash.
Everybody,
it was really good. Talking about the trailer and stuff, one of the things you do have to like stop start, just try and capture things. There's been a lot of mixed reaction to John Sim appearing at the end of it. I'm rather delighted.
I was actually really hoping that they were going to sneak him in as the Doctor, but obviously they're not going to now. But I thought that would be really cool if he turned up as the Doctor just for like a transition episode or something. But
I'm wondering whether we're going to have two Doctors
two Masters type thing. Yeah.
Can I talk about Americans? Because over here, what we got the next time, which was the next series. Then after that, we then got a trailer, which is more from the series. Did you get both of those or only the next time thing?
I have no idea what BBC America did, because what I've got is BBC.
We got the next time trailer, and we got the coming soon during the whole series.
Like he's from Stargate SG-1.
Mary, did you get both of those then, Mary, as well?
I did too, but then I get the BBC also. Oh, right.
I wonder if that is him regenerating, though, whether he's just using some regeneration energy for something. When he's got his arms there. Astride, and also there's soldiers there. There's so many things we just.
I like the people walking on the outside the spaceship. Yeah. And the cybers as
they're
well.
Obviously dead. It's a bit of a zombie story, obviously that one.
Now it looks as if the Mondasian Cyberman story is going to have more than 2 seconds of like the Movellans.
Yeah, well, they've obviously put some money into recreating all these Cybermen, haven't they? So it would be a bit of a shame not to put money into recreating
Movellans.
Yeah, but that wasn't a difficult costume to put together. They probably borrowed a few cosplayers because they only saw them fleeting in the background. What's this? Alan T. Butcher's
My opinion is that Moffat is cleaning house. He's emptying out the attic and the basement.
Bye,
Stormy.
Bye, Stormy.
We're just saying goodbye. Good night to Storm again.
Night.
Oh, there's the lovely Dawn's arm. Hello, lovely Dawn's arm.
Hello.
Lovely Dawn's hand. Hello, lovely Dawn. There's lovely Dawn.
Hello.
Hi. over the heads of all our listeners.
Yeah, they're all good. What
are they doing? Yeah. So, I think
Moffat is just cleaning house and he's dumping everything out from all the old series.
I should have done that before the episode, actually. I managed to hold on to it.
Such a clean sweep. That now Chibnall coming in can start all over again and recreate Doctor Who for us.
You're fired. I don't know. You're doing it. Yeah? What are you doing in there?
I don't care. I'm here.
Yes. So, and one of the people in the house that doesn't like Doctor Who, who thinks they can come on a Doctor Who podcast. And they
why
don't
does
like
she
Doctor
not
Who?
Like Doctor Who?
I don't know. You have
Ever
to ask
tell
her,
us.
Why don't you like Doctor Who
What's
as well?
What's happened?
Say I didn't like it.
Have you watched this new episode yet?
Yes, I have.
Because she emulates her older sister.
Really like and she really liked it, so she can't quite
be quiet
yet.
That she wants to be in the room.
She just wants to be like her older sister.
It's all fake. It's all fake. It's all Star Wars and what's the other
Harry
thing?
Harry Potter.
One, mainly Star Wars.
Rogue One's brilliant.
It is brilliant, yes. It's extremely brilliant. But so is
this new episode of Doctor
Beauty and the Beast. But she's only saying that because she wants to be in the room. She wants a ticket to be in
Tell
the room. Her and Alicia confirmed yesterday, so Saturday, that they both hate Doctor Who. Now she's trying to backtrack a little bit because she knows if she says she hates Doctor Who, she's
That's
not allowed in the room.
Be like her sister.
Then I have a bat upstairs.
Do you?
So,
yes.
In the belfry, is it?
I've got a screwdriver.
Anyway, moving on.
4-1.
Right, yes. okay, I'm just going through the trailer again.
You've got the Ice Warriors.
Yeah, the Ice Warriors. Now, the shot of...
Bill's
the
wearing one of those, the astronauts things with the bleepy things like River does.
Mm.
If you notice, as she turns, so before the master shows up.
Vasta Narada.
Vasta Narada again.
You reckon?
God, that'd be Isla not watching it for another 2 years.
Also, no Daleks in the trailer, so that's it, isn't it?
There's no Daleks in the trailer.
No, well, that's
John Sims channeling the War Doctor.
Yeah, he's got. Yeah, he looks like the War Doctor. He's got the old master beard. He just isn't any darkness in it. But I noticed if you look at the scenery,
sexy,
it looks the similar sort of atmosphere to Missy's.
He is. John Sims is very sexy. When him and Tennant were in the room, it was very
difficult. That's a real reason to have him in Doctor Who. Anyway, yeah. So, right, let's move on then, because there was another trailer after that, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was the full trailer for next
after
week.
After the episode finished, and I just wanted to confirm that Murray Gold was still doing the music, as he is, as you see that. Unfortunately, no mention of friend of the show John Davey, because he was actually in this episode, but not credited. Yeah, so we have another trailer for the next episode.
Yes. That's the best kind of robot.
Actually, the trailers were in the opposite order. That was first the next week and then the trailer for the rest of the series.
Yeah, that's all,
Mm-hmm. And it's got the guy in it from Midnight.
No, this Merlin. Chap here. He was a candidate to be the Doctor, not
yeah,
him.
Yeah, no, the guy who played Merlin who was in Midnight, yes.
Is he?
Yes.
Look. That's not him.
Yes, it is.
That is
Where?
Not him.
Oh,
where?
No.
That's the matey that used to be in the Royal Family.
I thought it was the guy from Midnight. Oh,
no,
well,
he was for Canada to be the Doctor.
I didn't pause it, I just saw it. So
you
I just,
silly woman.
I'm
where?
Not silly.
Where?
Leave her alone.
Oh, throw me off anyway. The podcast.
Right then, no. Okay, let's talk about
Debbie,
what we thought
Debbie,
of the show.
Debbie, where are you seeing this person?
Pardon?
Debbie, where are you seeing this person that you were wondering about?
The trailer
for next week.
Yeah, after the episode finished. They did the trailer for the
yes.
next episode.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the actor that was the son
in the
Royal
Family?
The Royal Family's son.
Ralph Little.
Yeah, he was going to be a candidate to be the Doctor.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn that off now.
Maybe that's why they snuck him in.
But in which scene in the trailer?
When they,
right near the end of
right
the trailer.
Right near the end of the trailer. He turns around and goes...
He's working, is he wearing like a workman's helmet?
Yeah. No, he didn't have a helmet on.
Didn't he?
No, the potholers bit, the new trailer for BBC One is a bit odd like that.
Okay. Yeah. Right, we're now going to talk about what we thought of the episode. Now, the trouble with new...
Mary was so disgusted, she's wandered off.
The trouble with new Doctor Who...
Stop with Mary, then.
The trouble
Mary,
with,
what do you think of the episode?
Thank you. The trouble with new Doctor Who is it's always very exciting, fresh and new, and it's very difficult not to like it. So, I liked it.
I'm doing
it. It's really very, very good. And it's a Moffat story, which gets a lot of, battering, doesn't he,
Robert
sometimes?
Robert McIntyre, I have to go, guys, but I want to say I love the episode. I'm excited for this season.
Thank you, Robert. It was very, 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 very good. Let's just hope it's not the best one of the series.
I hope not.
But it was very enjoyable. Probably one of the best introductions to a new companion I've seen.
That is true.
Yes. What would you blimmin' know? You hate Doctor Who. Did you think about it, Debbie, as you just happened to be here?
I just happened to be here, and I just happened to have really enjoyed it, because I've been longing for a fresh new companion, and we got it. And it was just nice to have Nardole already established as a companion, and a lot of nods to the old episodes. Obviously, Rose.
Nodles.
But like Andy said, it's very reminiscent of Rose. And it was great to revisit that feeling, that energy that was in that first episode, because there was so much promise in Rose for this is how good Doctor Who's going to be. Mm. And I'm hoping that this is setting the standards for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
I
quite like the lighting in the story as well. Mm. I don't really like dark stories, but it wasn't really a dark story yet.
It was darkly lit, and then you had the brightness of going out where the puddle was, and it was just the contrast, like the joy of Bill. Bill as a human, was sort of summed up with all the lights in the pub and her being outside a lot, and things like that. And even though she's serving chips, it was very highly lit area and things like that. So it's sort of yin and yang.
Bright colours. Mm.
Yeah.
But I've got high hopes for the series. I really enjoyed that. There wasn't a moment where I went, oh, for God's sake.
Well, I think sometimes a good indicator of a good story is when, obviously, we have to watch it more than once, obviously. And not thinking, oh god, I've got to watch that again.
I'd watch that again. I actually bought the series pass. I normally don't get it till halfway through a season.
What I realised when I bought the series pass, I haven't got the series pass for series four. So I have to rectify that because it's quite cheap at the moment. Go on, Isabella.
What did you
think? Pretend you like the story and pretend you've obviously not been enjoying it so much over the past
time because we've been watching the classic.
She doesn't like Doctor Who.
Now we're back on the sort of more modern Who. What do you think?
I thought it was actually a lot better because when Bill was introduced, it was kind of like a bit rose into it.
That's it, yeah.
No, you haven't seen him. Carry on.
What did you think? Did you really enjoy it? Are you looking forward to this one?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you're not too fed up with the Daleks yet then?
No, not at all.
Because unfortunately I'm fed up with the Daleks, much as they used to terrify me and still make the hairs rise on my arm.
Can I just make a point? Right. If Isabella had a couple of hours to spare, she didn't have anything to do, she may pick up Rogue One and watch that. She'd never pick up a Doctor Who DVD and watch it. And that implies to me that the evidence of her and Alicia being haters of Doctor Who and just trying to follow...
Dad, if I don't pick up a Doctor Who DVD, doesn't mean I hate it.
Right. Don't like it then. Moving on.
Doesn't mean I don't like it.
Be quiet.
I still watch it.
Who should we go to next? I reckon Andy would be a good candidate for the next.
Yeah, well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, as I said, I thought there's a lot of comparison between that and Rose, which is why I think what they've done, there has been talk about they're rebooting the series, if you could have such a thing. So what they've done is they've introduced it to... what are you doing, Kirby?
Taking a picture.
Fair enough. Okay. Right. What they're doing is there's now a new audience. So they had the TARDIS, the companion. There's references to regeneration. There's a lot of references to old things in the series to a new audience. So I think they are relaunching it, and that's why it's going to be good to go into a new series. You have a regeneration. You have Chibnall coming in with a new doctor, which may be Chris Marshall, may not be Chris Marshall. But I thought it was, I really enjoyed it because I thought Nardole, the way they used him as someone who, I think it's you said, Debbie, said he's never been introduced to a companion. He's just now there. And the way they worked him was very, very well. I thought the doctor, it's a shame the way Capaldi's going. I don't understand why he's going. He's done his time because he's really coming to his element now. He's in command with it.
Well, they always do that. They always leave just when you're thinking, right, this is the doctor. This is great stuff. And then they leave.
Yeah. But perhaps, in a way, you go out on a high. So perhaps it's going out at the right time. Go out while say, why are you going, rather than, for God's sake, like Tom Baker, why didn't you go 2 years ago? Bill is very interesting companion. I think a lot of people thought the lesbian thing would be, oh, God, it's beating a drum. It's here, so, you know, we've been really PC. We've got a companion. But no, it's just like, I was going to say it's tossed off. That wasn't quite what I meant to say. It was just, it didn't matter. It was irrelevant. It's the fact that made it a woman. I thought the way they used Heather was excellent. I thought it's a very interesting character. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And what amazed me was Sheldon, what's his name? I've forgotten his surname now. Taxi driver. Come on. You were still with his friends.
Nope.
No? Okay, right. Sheldon Collins, yes. He has been hating Doctor for years. He actually went back and rewatched it. I watched it twice. Picked him up. Again, I rewatch it, and there's things I'm picking up on. If I watch again tomorrow, I will pick up on things again. There was so much there. There were so many layers, so many different things to pick up on. And the way it's going to move forward, like you, Adam, said, I hope this isn't the best of the season, because we had that when we had the Trial of the Time Lord, when we had that brilliant model shot, and it went downhill from there afterwards. Let's hope it's going to go that way. But if it's going to keep this quality of story writing, of acting, production quality, I think we're into a cracking season, and it will really relaunch the series. So when Chibnall comes in, new Doctor comes in, next year it's going to go boom.
Yes, thank you, Andy. I just wonder, you're talking about, obviously, this this reboot. Do you think that Moffat and Chibnall had some sort of conflabs, you know, in the setup for this series, so as to sort of set up a new platform for his tenure, or do you think Moffat's just guessing what Chibnall wants to do with the Doctor?
No, I think actually
I'm sure they've spoken.
I think Moffat's actually setting it up for him. He's making it ready for him. He's building it up that people will just start watching and start talking about it. So he will leave. Moffat will leave on a high, which he deserves to do. I think he's done a lot of the series. But Shibner will come in. Sorry, am I boring you, Adam?
No, I'm just saying. if that's on, not on Wi-Fi, it'll interfere with the microphone. Is it on Wi-Fi?
It's on Wi-Fi.
But I think he will leave the series on a high. But also that means Shibner will come in. And he will hit the ground running because it will be a popular series. They will see viewing figures go up. People talk about it. And people say, great, really enjoyed Doctor Who. We've got a new Doctor. Great. Got a new producer. Great. I really want to see this new series. And it will leave it. Chibnall will come in and it will be set up him. And he's going to be able to hit the ground running and really go with it. So he's going to have all that momentum of keeping it, you know, building, taking things forward. So I think it's set up for him. And I reckon they've done it between them because obviously they're close. I'm guessing they're close. Well, perhaps not close friends, but obviously they're not companions. What's the word I'm looking for? colleagues.
There you go.
They're close colleagues. They work well together. So he's going to walk in and lead Chibnall with a lot of momentum to take it forward.
Excellent. Kirby, what did you think?
I'm not as enthusiastic about it as everyone else. I liked it. I like Bill. I like the bringing in Nardole. I like the bringing in the little hints about what we're going to be seeing. I did not like the monster. I thought it was just kind of lame. It reminded me of just fitting in a monster to help the rest of the story. It was like the Vincent van Gogh one. Yeah. The monster was incidental. I mean, yes, it was good. Heather was there to move the story along, but she just wasn't threatening.
Well, I thought she was threatening on the odd instance. We didn't know.
To me.
Okay.
If someone was dripping and floating towards me, I think I would be a little bit worried.
I've already watched it three times. I'm going to watch it again and again. So. Yeah.
Did I say if I'm in?
Don't pay attention to the child.
Ask me in a minute. Are you done?
But, oh, sorry. So I enjoyed it, and so far it's the best one of this series.
Laurie Nix is
well
posted.
I think I should perhaps have played the next sound effect for Kirby, but nevertheless I think things it's could a get a bit a. worse. Miss Mary.
Well, I'm sort of in Kirby's camp in terms of the monster that they chose. I found her very threatening. For the majority of the story, I just didn't understand why she went from this creature that was, you know, giving them the big and grabbing Bill by the face, which made her very scary. Why all of a sudden she just became this sweet little,
cuddly girl.
Yeah. I mean, there's no explanation for why she suddenly went so soft, which allowed them to resolve the story. So that was, for me, kind of unsatisfying. But overall, you know, my biggest complaint about the Capaldi era all along has been that Moffat's been apologizing for this older doctor. He's been a grumpy old man. He's been forgetful. He's been everything.
He's been cool.
To allow his companion to actually take on the doctor role. And I've had an issue with that all along. But if it started the Capaldi era with this issue, with this particular episode, and taken off from here, I think we would have had, you know, a way more exciting, you know, way more creative and enjoyable series with Capaldi. But unfortunately, I think Capaldi's going to end up being people's least favorite doctor, not because he's not a great actor, but because he's had such a lousy run of scripts and direction.
Yeah.
Until now, you know, and I'm hoping that this series, starting with a very promising first episode, will maybe revive that. That's what I'm hoping.
Fingers crossed. Go on in, Isabella.
When you said that, when Heather went, I think, like, she went angry because the doctor wouldn't, like, let her have her to herself because she was basically inviting her to join her.
Well, that's kind of a rude invite when you grab her by the head.
Come with me. Yeah. It'll be fun, honest. Yeah.
You know, that's a good point. When you look back after you find out why emotionally she wanted her, yeah, that it wasn't so much that Heather was threatening them as much as she was just angry at the doctor. But yeah, but that face grab to me made her seem very dangerous.
Indeed. Which makes you wonder if something has happened and she has sort of got Heather inside her slightly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and just something.
Even if they don't go down that road, at least the seed has been planted that they could go down that road in the future, right? What do
Laurie,
I do?
Then.
Alan T. Butcher said it did drag a bit, could have been done in 45 minutes.
Okay.
I did actually notice how long it was. I know that sounds stupid,
about 40
but I watched
minutes?
It twice on Capture. Was it 45,
40? No, I think it was about
10 minutes. It was 49 minutes and 40 seconds.
I wasn't watching, I was enjoying it. Laurie Nick says, it was fun, nostalgic, and thankfully not angst-ridden. Still bittersweet, though, as we only get one season of this Doctor-Stroke-Companion combo. We might still only get that, because if Bill is popular, they'll bring about, like they did with... Who was
Clara.
No, it wasn't
Amy?
Clara. No, it wasn't Amy. It was
Martha.
Martha, that's it. She was kicked off and then she came back for parts and then she
and
went
Donna.
To Torchwood.
And Donna.
Yeah, Donna, she was only going to do one series because Catherine Tate was busy.
Shane.
Oh, hang on, the thing's gone funny. What else have we got here?
Alan T. Butcher. It was, of course, basically the same outline plot as The Empty Child / The Doctor Dances.
No.
Really? No.
No.
Oh, that would
be a little disagreement there.
I like The Empty Child.
Sorry, Al.
That's about it, really, for the current statements. Okay. Let's see what else we've got here, bear with. It's asking if I want to do a software update. Well, not now.
Progress.
Yes, mine tried to do that earlier. It's like, not just now, thank you.
All right, let's have a look. Will you stop doing that?
What is that, Isabella?
Foxy the Pirate from my favorite video game, Five Nights at Freddy's.
One
Five
of
Nights
your
at Freddy's.
Video game.
have I got all this to come?
Oh yeah.
Are we going to have a quiz?
Probably something a bit more modern when later on.
Yeah.
Do we get a quiz this week?
Will you shut up? I'm in the middle of doing stuff for the next segment of the show. God's sake. Right, I did post a thing earlier on today for comments and stuff. And we got this. Right, there we go. Billy Kirkbright has sent me some feedback. We won't talk about that. Graham Sheridan. Yes, Graham Sheridan. Throwback to early days.
Right.
Says, how Capaldi's time should have started instead of watering down Sixth Doctor start. You also notice that Moffat didn't have his eye on the Sherlock ball at the same time, and more time and effort was put into this episode. Another trope started, be afraid of puddles. And I like that we have had two companions in the TARDIS again, one of them being male, if robotic bodied.
See, K9, the tin dog. There you go.
Yay.
Patrick Bishop says, I really enjoyed this first episode. Bill is a promising companion, and the character showed more depth during one story than the previous one over a whole series. I see, in my mind's eye, I see Mary nodding to this.
No, Mary's busy in her kitchen.
She's making me a cup of tea. Thank you, Mary. Yes, no sugar for me. I think Capaldi is always good, so his performance was as I expected. I'm encouraged for this series. Or was the other way around? Sorry, series stroke season.
Ah, you
season,
go to Kroger
season,
too.
That was the requested feedback. Now we go to the official feedback, which has come through the old email system.
You're getting your drink.
We don't need to comment on whether you're getting a drink or not.
Master?
Yes.
Master?
I've got gin and tonic.
I put out the request for feedback 2 days ago, and then you went out and you did it again.
So do you mean to say there's some feedback connected to your request?
Yes. Well, I didn't see any requests from you, Kirby. That's why I thought Adam put his out.
I saw one from Kirby.
Do you know what? I reckon it's because mine counts and Kirby's doesn't. But we'll have a look anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Kirby, you got really annoyed when
there
I
we go. Let's see what's that. Oh, no comments, Kirby.
No comments. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's funny, isn't it?
Really? People liked it, but
they did like
it.
I liked it. That's not the idea. What are you doing?
Put my gin and tonic back.
Right, we got this bit of audio.
Billy,
How you doing out in 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast land? How you
Billy.
Doing?
Okay. Billy.
The Pilot by Stephen Moffat. Okay, well, first of all, I just want to say that I enjoyed this story. It wasn't bad. Nothing too different from previous episodes where a companion has been introduced into the show. But despite that, I did find it quite suspenseful, quite engaging, interesting, I thought. And despite the fact that in this particular episode, a large part of it was focusing on Bill's sexuality with her attraction towards Heather and vice versa. I'm not a fan of that, but I did find that quite emotive in parts, and I do like that, actually, particularly at the end when they said goodbye. Rather sad, rather touching, and I don't mind that at all, actually. Slightly continuously heavy at the start with the reference to Susan with the photograph on the table and River Song, of course, the joyful of classic Sonic screwdrivers, and the out of order sign on the TARDIS door, which was a reference, I think, to the War Games, from memory. I don't think there's any need for the show anymore to acknowledge its history. I think we've sort of done away with that with the 50th anniversary and other times where the show has nodded to its past. I think too much of that gets a little bit monotonous. Back in the day, back in the classic era, when it happened very seldomly, it was nice, it was good, quite nostalgic, and I enjoyed that back then, but too much of it now, I think, like I said, gets monotonous. One thing stands out for me in this story, and call me simple if you like, I don't care, but it's the first time I've watched a contemporary episode where I've only had to watch it once and I've got the gist.
Oh, yeah, Billy.
Brilliant. Great stuff. Another aspect is why I liked it, and that's the reason. I just watched it and I enjoyed it.
Good.
I didn't have to work out what, where and how or whatever else. I just enjoyed a simple Doctor Who story at last. Brilliant. And despite the fact that we now have a Phil Lennott lookalike as a Doctor Who companion, doesn't she look absolutely lush? Yeah, I'm going to like her, I think. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this series progresses. I'm looking forward to seeing the classic 10th Planet Cybermen. That's going to be quite interesting.
Yay.
So yeah, happy days ahead, I think. So that's it for my lot. Have a fantastic day. Take care.
Thank you. That's Billy, everybody.
Thank you, Billy.
Take it. Hope to see you next year, Billy. Take care, mate.
He said he thought it was from War Games, War Machines.
War
of
Machines.
Course, the
War Machines.
Yeah. But good effort. Got one of the words right. So, for the heart.
No, two. The war. That's two words
yes,
right.
Yes, two words right. Yes. Sorry about that, but yeah. Okay, Anity Butcher says, consequences of something being left behind by an alien craft appears to be a menace but turns out to be trying to help. Same outline plot. I think he's talking about Empty Child Doctor
yes,
Dance.
Yes, yeah.
Good point.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Good point, well made.
I think that was an OOK from Kirby, meaning, oh, maybe he's right after all.
yes, he's right.
We have more feedback.
We can't let that happen,
Mary.
Josh.
Yes, can you read that?
Yes.
Shall I zoom in a bit?
Little, if that's okay.
How do I zoom in on this?
Don't worry, I'll read it.
Good, because I can't zoom in. Yeah, go on.
A wonderful episode. The perfect combination of fresh Who combined with subtle but touching callbacks to the history of the show. The family photos, sonic screwdrivers, out of order sign used by the First Doctor. All delicious spine-tingling touches. We even got a soundbite from Clara's theme and got to see Miss Quill's blackboard from class. Please let us have a second series. The story was genuinely interesting, and it was a nice touch to feature a monster that wasn't just interested in eating or destroying everything. The Tardis jumping, I think TARDIS, jumping from Oz to the Dalek Mavellan War was loads of fun. Bill Potts hit our screens with a bang, just like Rose, and was immediately engaging, down to earth and up for it. Can't wait to see more of her. As I've said before, this is the series where Capaldi will hit the ground running. It's going to be heartbreaking to lose him in his prime, especially considering the frequent lackluster stories he's been dealt so far. He's just getting settled. Herein lies the biggest issue facing Doctor Who. As Troughton warned Davidson, don't do this for too long or... But we really need actors who will throw themselves at it longer term. But yeah, it ain't going to happen. I still can't believe Eccleston went after just one series. Even Nardole fits in perfectly, much to my surprise. I love this episode from beginning to end and can't wait to watch the rest of the series. The outlook is looking decidedly rosy, but who knows what's to come. Though we seem to know much more than we really should do. What happened to spoilers, I wonder? Josh.
Rosie. That's Josh Dybald. Thank you, Josh.
Master, uh-oh. That reminds me, here on BBC America, they showed Class last night, immediately after the episode. I'm not sure what the ratings were.
Premiere episode, yes.
Probably not good.
Yeah. And they're also...
I can't judge it. I haven't seen it.
Tomorrow evening and Wednesday evening.
Yes, you can.
You can just judge those two episodes aren't very good. Not the rest of it, yes.
Tomorrow evening and Wednesday evening, they're showing both the pilot and the first episode of Class in theaters here in America as well. I'm not going.
I'm not surprised.
Don't blame you, Kirby.
He's showing a lot of faith in something that didn't do well in England.
Yeah. Anyway.
What have you sprayed there, Kirby?
Welcome to Moon Map Podcasters in Kirk. In the Christmas episode, Nardole had his head removed and attached to a large robot body.
Yes.
This week, a piece of metal fell on the floor and he hid it. Perhaps he now has a smaller robot body. In the David Tennant story, The Lodger, a spaceship chose a young woman to be part of it, as did the spaceship in The Girl in the Fireplace. Bill is the first to point out that it is odd, a Gallifreyan choosing the TARDIS abbreviation in English. This was very enjoyable, although there's not much plot. Bill makes Heather promise not to leave her, and only has to release her from that promise.
Cool.
There was a physicist called Richard Feynman, whose lectures were very popular. Bye for now.
Thank you. Ian. Now, isn't that what Andy was saying earlier?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Do any he wrote that feedback after we started the show? I don't know. Anyway, thanks, Ian. That's brilliant stuff. Right, we've got one
more
bit.
He did
it
one hour ago.
It's possible. Oh, maybe he did then. Yeah. Very clever. Here we go. Oh, it's not as bad as normal.
I can imagine
flip a coin. We would flip a coin to find out who, whether it be
I'll
Mary.
I'll take it. It's there.
But it's little this week. So Debbie's quite prepared
Alan
to read.
Alan T. Butcher's. To me,
feedback.
Pilot Fishy Puddles. Dear 20 megabytes. The pilot was, of course, a closely studied survey of personal relationships, identity, and motivational locus. In particular, the reasons for Bill and the Doctors being where they are challenged but not resolved, their identities are introduced as something out of the normal in relation to what they are choosing to represent, and their relationship is formed from an unorthodox engagement as tutor and pupil. Heather presents a potential alternate route for Bill to be offered, but there is a clear dichotomy between the Doctor's and Heather's motivation. Heather wants to run away, and the Doctor wants to run towards locations. Also challenged is the mind wipe scenario, which is so... Oh, my God, he's got me. Inimitable to a coherent personal identity. Well done, Alan. And the Doctor chooses the more emphatical route, having experienced it from the other point of view. We also learn that incongruous puddles are suspect when it hasn't been raining, whoever leaked them. I found this a bit prosaic in terms of plot, but primarily pleasing in terms of characterisation and dialogue. Given the goodies, or rather baddies, to come, it was perhaps underwhelming, but this was a good setup for what is shaping up to be a great series. It may be a pilot flame to lead to a conflagration, the like of which we have not seen, since the last decade. Next up, smiley face. Those are my thoughts.
I wonder what you're going to say for next up.
Next up, smiley face.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you,
especially
Alan.
If you're
and
still
I'm sorry
watching.
I messed it up.
And idiot, the idiot dog has been let into the room by some donut.
Hello, so idiot dog.
All sorts of havoc.
Hello.
There's nowhere room for him to blimmin' sit.
Hello,
I'm a
darling.
Donut, that means I can eat myself.
Ugh.
How do you know I was talking about you?
Inimitable.
What are you doing? Stop opening and closing the door. She must be a babe. We'll get bananas. I'm sorry if she must be a babe, but she keeps opening and closing the door.
Inimitable. Yeah.
I don't know.
Inimitable.
Yeah. No, I was in full flow and then I got completely scuppered by a small word, honestly.
A small word?
Oh,
well. Okay, right.
What joy brings to his heart every week to throw these at us.
I got up to it's now.
Quite happy.
That's all I've got to say. Shut up, you. No, you're not. You're banned from the show.
I'm not allowed to look.
For siding with Alicia.
There's questions there. I'm going to sit like that.
Oh, there's questions? Good.
Good.
She's banned for siding. Anyway, you can't do it sat there. The microphone is here.
Then bring it over.
No. We're over here. You'll have to stand here.
Yep. I'm not looking because the questions are right there.
How can I go there?
You'll have to try.
I don't want to see you. I'm going to keep cheating.
It's very competitive.
I haven't got any notes again.
Mrs. Melrose. So here's the iPad. No, it's not normally done on the iPad.
Give it to me.
I've got no notes. I just wrote down
right
my quote.
Hang on, I haven't written down the thing.
I see it's getting dark there.
I love that colour going behind Andy. It's one of my favourite blues.
Oh, who let the dogs in?
Oh,
I know. Let the dogs out.
Let the dogs out.
What are you sewing, Mary? Are you doing cross
well
stitch?
Done, Isabella, for now bringing the dog in and now he's barking.
What are you making?
Yeah, what are you making, Mary?
Oh, I'm embroidering.
Fantastic.
How many are there of us? Five.
Whenever we do the...
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
It's superfluous. We've just had loads of viewers turn off now.
It's a table topper for Christmas.
That's lovely. Mm.
Be quiet.
Yeah, you can just sit and
look, we've gone to my screen. Right. Oh, sorry, are we ready yet? No. I haven't actually started the quiz yet because you lot have put me right off.
If anybody watching just tuned in wonders why I'm holding up a blank piece of paper, it's because...
Because she's desperate to win but doesn't want to be accused of cheating.
I'm not desperate to win.
Yes, you are. Okay, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. There we go. Right, Andy, who do you think is going to be heard at the end of the questions?
I will go with Debbie.
Okay, Kirby, who do you think is going to be heard at the end of the questions?
Master.
Debbie?
Kirby.
Me? Why aren't you guessing me?
Oh, God, I can't even write Kirby's name down. What's the matter with me? And I'm going to say me. Because you lot are
Mary?
So rubbish.
Mary?
Oh, I forgot about that. I asked you. I asked you if there was anybody else, and you lot said no. Right, then, Mary.
No, you didn't.
Mary?
I pick you. Adam, I pick you. I just dazzled Adam Brady.
Right, and in a small twist to the normal way we do this show, Mary, who do you think is going to be at the bottom of the... You're going to say you, are you? Right, Andy. Who do you think is going to be at the
bottom?
Oh, it's got to be me.
Okay, Andy thinks himself. Kirby, who do you think?
Andy.
Nobody has such faith in you, Andy. Debbie, who do you think?
I don't know. Andy.
Yeah. See, I think Mary's going to do pretty well.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say...
I'm going
Mary.
To surprise you all.
No. So, how does that work in the scoring?
We'll find out later. Right then, so first question goes to Mary. God help us, Isabella is here too. She hasn't watched, she doesn't know the pronunciations and stuff. She hasn't watched the story, but she did. Go on then, please. What's the first question? Mary.
Yes.
What character first appears?
I know.
Nardole.
Correct.
Yeah. Joker. Right, Andy.
Yep.
What time was it when Bill sat waiting for the doctor?
Oh, darn.
Ouch. Well, given the fact that it was 6 p.m. every other time, I would go with 6 p.m. Yeah, right.
No.
I think Kirby might know.
Go on out, Kirby.
No, I don't know.
Does anybody know?
Was it 3 o'clock?
No. But close.
So what time was it then, Isabella?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. It's on the clock on the mantelpiece. 4 o'clock. Pay attention. Right then. Kirby.
Master.
Magic.
What music did a doctor play on his guitar?
Yeah, I know.
Beethoven's Fifth.
Joker.
What's your name again?
Debbie.
Thank you. Right. Yes, it's your question, Deb.
Yes.
Right.
Magic.
What colour bow did Bill have in her hair during her interview?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to joker it red.
Correct.
Awesome.
Sorry, the dog. The listeners will not be able to hear that. But
okay.
Currently, the dog is rummaging his way through to my superfluous items that are currently at the far end of the table, trying to find a comfortable spot.
Magic.
Just leave him. If he's over there and he finds somewhere to sit, at least he'll be quiet. Next question goes to Mary.
Yeah, I found it. What time did the doctor arrange to meet Bill every weekday?
Oh, thank goodness.
Joker. I know.
Joker.
Shush.
Joker. 6 o'clock.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Yes, yeah, she said 6 o'clock. I heard her.
Go, Mary.
Andy.
Yeah, whatever.
How did Bill describe the doctor to her foster mum?
Oh, it's like... I'll play my joke here, but I'm not quite sure. A foster tutor.
Yay! Excellent.
Yes!
That's happened at some point, didn't it? Hang on, sorry.
Oh,
yes, it's got
warning.
To be. Kirby.
Master.
Go on, then.
Okay. Don't you dare not.
Hello,
my
Magic.
Foxy.
Hi, Magic.
There's nothing over there for you. Go over there.
Found it. Right. Fine. What city was the university in?
Bristol. Oh, darn. Joker.
No. Did he say Bristol?
Yeah, Bristol, yeah.
Sit still, Magic, for goodness sake.
Magic.
Stop it. Debbie.
Yes.
What name university was it?
No, we've done that one.
No, we haven't. No, what's the name of the university? Not yeah. not where it was. What's the name of the university?
Or is it Bristol University?
No.
Right, hang on. Let me get some points.
Anyone know?
Yeah, anybody know?
I'm guessing, is it St. John's?
Oh,
excellent.
Like that.
I was wondering when I was going to get some points. I played a joker on that one. What was the answer, Isabella?
St. Luke's.
It was. Right, so score update. I'll do the score update thing. Right, in last place with 4 points is Andy, Kirby and Debbie. And in first place with 6 points each, it's Mary and me.
Oh my god.
Next question goes to Mary.
Right. How many fasteners did Nardole's duffel coat have at the front?
Oh, you are having a laugh.
I have no idea.
Really? You could have a guess.
I'm guessing six.
You're guessing incorrectly. I should have played the joker again.
You
were
close.
Oh, Debbie says she knows.
Andy,
go on him.
Go.
Andy?
I'll guess four.
Hey.
Yay! That would have been my guess, but Andy said it first.
Lovely guess.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you very much,
mate. The next question goes to Andy.
Okay.
Let me look at the questions. I need to play a joker at some point. Where are we up to?
We are up to 11 now.
Kirby's got his joker left. 11's
the next one, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not going to play a joker on that question. So the next question goes to Kirby.
Because I said this already. What was the star-eyed girl's name?
Joker, Heather.
Yay! You can always tell when Adam's really enjoyed an episode.
Right, next question to Debbie.
Oh, God, here we go.
Let me read it first.
Shoot myself in the foot.
I can't see. Let me read the question. That's wrong, actually. Because I changed it and I was wrong to change it.
Who farted? Did you fart? Did you?
Stop moving.
No,
it.
I
I'm
didn't.
Trying to type.
Three.
Can you stop moving the iPad while I'm trying to type? I'll set the dog on you. Right then. I'm going to play.
No, the dog's on you, Adam.
Quiet. I'm going to play a joker on this one. Who's it for?
Me.
Debbie.
Right, here we go.
What colour Christmas hat did Bill wear?
Colour. I know.
That's what I just said.
No.
I know.
Green.
Ooh. Oh. There we go. Good.
Anyone?
Red.
Yay!
Yes!
Everybody's played their jokers. Next question
Where
goes
did
to.
You get to?
Because it was a joker
okay,
question.
Okay, fair enough.
Next question goes to Mary.
Okay.
I found it. How much money was in Bill's Christmas card?
I know.
Yeah, Debbie's got the Debbie got that first.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would guess, Mary. Have a guess.
Let's see. 35 pounds.
Debbie.
Not the best of guesses. Go on then.
20 pounds.
Master.
About what I get.
She's going to complain about currencies
Fred,
now.
Yeah. No. Fred was watching last night, and she looked at that, and she went, "Is that British money?"
Yes. Yep.
Yes, it is Monopoly money. Yes. Andy's question next.
Go on.
I found it. What present did Bill get the doctor?
A rug.
Okay. Yes, magic. Oh, good grief. Next question goes to Kirby.
Hug. Give me a hug, Daddy. Daddy.
Go on, get on with it.
Which one?
So the question again, Isabella.
How did the doctor run?
I know.
Like a penguin.
No.
A penguin. You carry on with his arse
on fire.
Right, I'm gonna
one to Kirby.
I'll go one to Kirby,
Andy.
One to Andy. There, I think.
Thank you, Adam.
And the next question goes to Debbie.
No, it didn't go to Kirby. Sorry. I'm losing.
Normal student stuff is text snogging and
yes.
What?
Yes.
Normal student stuff is text snogging and.
Hello.
Oh, Andy knows.
I don't know. Drinking?
Is that wrong?
Yes, wrong.
Right.
Andy knows.
Andy knows. Go on in, Andy.
Vegan rap.
Correct.
Right, so score
it's
up,
amazing.
Please.
I'm watching it sober. I pick up so much stuff.
I should have written some notes.
In last place with 5 points is
I got none.
Debbie. In fourth place with 6 points is Mary. In third place with 9 points is Kirby. In second place with 11 points is me. And in the lead with 13 points it's Andy.
Hey!
What?
Right, next question goes to Mary.
It's because we said he would be bottom.
Everyone doubts him.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, go on then, Mary. Mary's question, yes. Carry on.
Come on, she's on an intricate part of her pattern.
Oh yeah, I found it. Who was Neville?
Who was Neville?
Hello.
Neville. Don't remember.
Go on then. As Andy said, I know.
Yeah, Andy said.
It was her foster mom's first boyfriend.
Oh, that's Neville.
Well,
that's right.
A previous boyfriend.
Oh, it doesn't
you
matter.
Don't know if it was
love interest.
Oh, you.
Love interest of her foster mother.
Pedant.
Right. Andy's question.
Go then.
Who did Bill think was in the shower?
Barry!
Correct!
Yay!
He's on fire this week.
Yeah.
Right,
what, Barry?
Kirby. No. Kirby's question.
Oh, it was in
Master.
The shower.
Master.
What type of people did the doctor suggest hung around in puddles?
I don't know.
Anybody?
Around.
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Good. And the answer was?
Students. Oh, I like this one.
So was that Andy's question? I lost track where I was.
Yeah,
was
that?
No.
Which was it then?
Who was it originally, that question? Kirby, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Debbie's question.
Okay.
Oh, I like this one. How did the doctor shepherd everyone out of the Australian...
Whose question is this?
Mine.
So
Debbie's
it's mine,
question.
And he said there was a shark attack.
Yeah.
Well, that deserves one of
shark
these.
Shark attack!
She finally got a question right. next question goes to Mary.
See how reliant I am on notes.
really?
Okay, what did the doctor think it would be nice if the sky was made out of?
Oh, no.
Easy.
Lemon drops.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be
nice, though?
Yes.
And that, of course, deserves one of these.
Sky's middle.
Andy's question.
You too.
Go on, then.
Andy's question, yes.
Okay. What badges did Bill have on her jean jacket?
Point for each.
No. Not got it. No.
I know one of them.
Point for each.
I know what it said. It said, "Wow." Does that mean something?
No. Anybody knows can get a bonus point for the last remaining badge.
I know.
Shut up. You do. You've got the blue answer in front of you, silly girl.
Was it a peace sign?
No. Right, what was the answer, Isabella?
A skull.
A what?
A skull, apparently.
A skull.
A skull.
Can't you say it normally?
No.
Because I'm not.
Right, was that Mary's Still question?
Serves its own way of being said.
No, it's my question.
All right, so it's Kirby's question, this one.
Master.
Which Dr. Sonic did the Dr. toss to Nardole?
Can anybody hear that as you've gone about a mile away from the microphone? Honestly, apparently this is why we don't have her on the show. So unprofessional.
I heard it was apparently the fourth Doctor's.
Yep. You still heard me.
Yeah, but that's the listeners won't have. That's the microphone. That's where the listeners are. Right, next question.
Oh, no, we're all over the world.
Debbie. Sit up.
Who? What is a Dalek?
What is a Dalek? he's hovering over the wrong thing. The worst firepower in the galaxy or universe?
I'll have a go.
Go on, Andy.
The most evil being in the universe?
Not quite sure you've got that question in it. And the answer was, Isabella?
Is fire for the universe?
Come on, say
a
again.
A Dalek is a Dalek.
Never mind, it's a Dalek.
A Dalek is a Dalek. Yeah, I remember now. Yeah.
That's a script-related question.
Yes.
People should have been paying attention. Who was it originally for, that
question? That was for...
Right, how many's left?
Two more. Well,
can I read the thing? Because
obviously... Three more. No.
I've got four more, so that's exactly right. So next question, I'll do a score update before the last round of questions. In last place, with 8 points each, is Debbie and Mary. In third place, with 12 points, it's Kirby. And that's second place. In joint first place, with 16 points each, it's Andy and me.
Oh my God.
Andy, you got to up your game.
Mary's question.
Andy, you got to up your game.
Mary's question.
All right, shut it, you.
What should you never underestimate?
Whose question is this?
Mary.
I know.
You should never underestimate a crush.
Correct.
Oop, hang on.
Correct.
That's better. Yep. Andy's question.
Okay.
What were Heather's last words?
He's thinking.
Come on, remember.
I know.
Come on. He's still thinking.
It's easy.
No, she didn't say it's easy.
No.
Goodbye.
No, I can't give
that. Given that.
No, I can't. It's not the script. It's not all of it. Try a bit longer.
Who did she say goodbye
to? Shut up, Isabella.
Well, in that case, goodbye, Heather.
I didn't say that.
Kirby says he knows.
I don't think
goodbye, Bill.
Yeah, because she
Bill.
What,
it was Bill.
One
or the other. It was one or the other. Right. No, really. Of course, because she got the name right, didn't she?
Yeah.
Correct.
No, goodbye, Bill.
No. You got it.
I added the point to the wrong person. Should have added it to me. No, right, and then right. Next question goes to Kirby.
Asta.
What is both good and rational?
What?
What is both good and rational?
Not me.
Shut up.
Why do we keep getting the EastEnders thing?
Because she's a donut.
Shouldn't it be countdown?
I don't know.
Right, anybody? What is both good and rational?
Andy?
I remember now, but it's too late.
Yeah, it is too late, yes.
Human behaviour.
Oh dear, she put in for a guess. That is another point to me. The answer, Isabella, was
being.
Can I say?
Say it so people can understand what
being
is
scared.
Being scared.
Last question goes to Debbie.
Wait, I didn't understand that. What was the answer?
Being scared. People can't understand.
Okay.
Scared.
But still not properly.
Debbie, your question.
Yes, I know.
I'm not. Okay.
Why did no one vote for me for bottom? Honestly?
Can you get a move on and read the last question out?
What changed the doctor's mind?
What changed the doctor's mind? Well, Bill suggesting how he would he like it if it happened to him.
Well, I'm picking up some points now. All right. Anyway,
and then we got the Clara.
What changed the doctor's mind? At the end of the story, he picked up Bill after once a minute he's going to wipe her memory, then what changed his mind?
It might happen to me.
It was time or something.
Time and relative dimension.
Yeah, time
dimension
and relative
in
dimension
space.
In space. Yeah.
Oh dear. Right then.
I didn't know.
Don't do that. Life. Honestly.
Kill me now.
Right,
Brexit. Brexit is never mind. It is Brexit from Alan T. Butcher.
And I want to mention my other quote I was thinking of doing for this show, and that was, "You're safe in here. You're safe in here, and always will be."
Do you think that's going to come back and bite me on the bottom?
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, right then. The scores so far, then.
Can I do it
now? No, you can't. At the moment, Mary is in.
So
got 10
far, are there more questions?
No, 16. That's the end of the questions, yes. 13, 8.
I forgot my quotes.
The current scores in last place with 8 points is Debbie. In fourth place with 10 points, it's Mary.
I'm not used to this.
In third place with 13 points. Shut up! 13 points is Kirby. In second place with 16 points is Andy. And then the lead with 21 points is, of course, me. Right. So, Mary predicted me. Andy predicted Debbie.
Sorry, Andy.
Kirby predicted me.
Way it goes, mate.
Debbie predicted Kirby. And I predicted me. Because I know how rubbish you lot are. But there's an extra element to who finished at the bottom.
I still lose.
Mary predicted Mary. Right. Unfortunately, it wasn't. Andy predicted Andy. It wasn't. Kirby predicted Andy. It wasn't. Debbie predicted Andy. It wasn't. And I predicted Mary.
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't.
I still
so
know.
The final scores are...
In last place of 8 points is Debbie. Fourth place of 16 points is Andy. Third place with 20 points is Mary. Second place with 26 points is Kirby. And the winner with 42 points is Adam.
I rest my case.
I still can't believe I actually came second in the quiz proper and then finished fourth.
It's very unfortunate, Andy.
No, I know.
Right, it's now time for Doctor Who news. Radio Times have had a very interesting cover with Mrs. Capaldi and Mackie. Is it Mackie? How do you say
Mackie.
That?
Mackie.
On it. One's upside down and one isn't.
I didn't buy it this time. I normally get it for Kirby and Mary, and I haven't bought them.
There was a predict the ratings competition.
You have in the past.
Yes, I know. I just haven't. I think it's because I was away and having lots of issues.
It's still on sale. Get in the next week.
Blown away by the Radio Times. There's nothing like that over here.
Nah. Well, you can get it online.
I'll see if it's still available tomorrow.
South Bank Doctor Who promotion. There were some pictures of Dr. Bill and the pub.
I was in London that day.
That was a rather cool graphic of all the aliens from the current series in a puddle. Obviously incorporating the puddle, which was one of the aliens. Was
I wish
clever.
I'd known about that, because I was in London that day.
I actually work about half a mile away.
Yeah.
I didn't until 7 o'clock at night. They're all gone by then.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
I work crap hours. It's like... By the time I find out, it's like, forget it.
So basically, the TARDIS was on that particular part of London just to do that bit of graphic, wasn't it? But never mind.
Half a mile away from where I work.
The fact they're still filming, aren't they? I think Peter Capaldi did say, even though he's shot his death scene, they are still shooting the odd bits and bobs.
He's getting better.
on the Graham Norton show, was it last night or the night before?
Yeah.
He said they had just finished filming on Friday, and that they're going to start filming the Christmas episode in like a couple of months.
Yeah, but he's already filmed his death scene, so that rather implies that.
I predict we've got multiple doctors.
Yes, rather implies there will be multiple doctors. but I don't care.
I think he's wanted to play with that for a while, hasn't he? So, yeah, I think we're going to get that.
Predictor ratings competition, apparently. I don't know who won that, but that was a while back. What else we got here? We've got media roundup. Can you do the media roundup, Deb? Because you're much better at reading than me.
How do you mean? Just read the whole thing?
Well, not all of it. Just sort of pick out bits.
The Telegraph was pleased with the pairing. Their relationship is sensitively written, set to be the best since Rose and Tennant. The Express had similar thoughts. Showrunner and writer Moffat's pulled off what many thought was an impossible feat by bringing some much-needed humanity back. Again, the chemistry mentioned again. Sunday Express, newcomer Pearl feels totally natural in the role and is a strong fit for her intelligence. You get the sense she might have a science background like Ace's extensive knowledge.
Mm. Mm.
And the Mail on Sunday chose to focus on Bill's sexuality, citing feminist campaigner Julie Bindle's thoughts. This is something that's clearly done for the benefit of... Oh, no, not going to bother with that.
Mm.
Ignore it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jackson in the Mirror noted, it's quite telling that the director pulled focus to a photo of the Doctor's granddaughter during her introduction. It reaffirms how Moffat sees the new coupling. And the Radio Times said, Susan has barely been mentioned since her departure in 1964. Carol Ann Ford reprised the role in The Five Doctors. We saw a blur of Susan fleeing Gallifrey in The Name of the Doctor.
Mm.
Yeah, so they're sort of all sort of hinting towards, you know, oh, what's to come, what's to come. Bill was totally hooked, and with reservations, so was I. That was Jeff Robson of The Eye. And story overall, Ben commented, who's that? This episode may have pushed all the buttons, but it was a reminder of how good Doctor Who can be when it tugs at the heartstrings and moves from pyrotechnics into a more thoughtful, psychologically ambitious orbit. Mm.
Yeah.
Guardian observed, it's ironic and impressive for a showrunner who gets criticised for reusing ideas that Stephen Moffat has delivered one of his freshest openers for his final run.
That only worries me a little bit when they're trying to say similar to the Tennant and Rose partnering, when Rose is clearly in love with Tennant's Doctor. I do hope they're not going to go down that particular route.
I don't think they will, because she's already sort of stipulated he's like a foster tutor.
Yeah.
So I think she's the whole idea of the family thing is going to be coming through on this.
Yeah, I think that is the case, but that's what
Rose to fall in love with the Doctor.
Yeah, well,
I like what Alan T. Butcher's written, to lose is to win, and he who wins shall lose, as Rassilon would have pointed out. That's my next tattoo, by the way, same one as yours.
Well, Rassilon. No, I did notice, actually, on this original thing that I wrote. I'm going to ask for comments. Ben Shoveler commented on it, and he said he liked that. It, but it's disappeared, that particular comment.
Oh, did he delete it? He changed his mind.
So that's interesting. Matthew Cressel?
Never heard of him.
Just finished watching it, and pleased with what I saw. A rip-roaring sci-fi adventure that takes the new companion Bill and the viewer alike on a journey across space and time, as well as into the human heart. As Graham Sheridan said above, perhaps this is how Capaldi's era should have started after all. With any luck, we're in for a Capaldi long last hurrah.
I think roaring is a bit of an overstatement.
Oh, dear.
Should we take your Matthew up on that one?
Let me know what's happened. Will you stop knocking the table? The microphone is right by your knee.
I know it is.
Honestly.
It's the dinkiest table in the world. You know how much trouble I used to have.
This is what Ben commented on. There's no more news.
How much trouble I have sitting at this table.
Don't you give me that. Knocking tea everywhere. I don't know.
I've got long legs.
Debbie, don't you stand for that.
Overnight figures. I've got a rather round, plump one.
Married couple, you two pack it in.
Doctor Who, the pilot, had an overnight viewing 4.64 million viewers, a share of 24.8% of the total TV audience, according to unofficial viewing figures. But there's obviously other things to add on to it. Saturday night's top show was Britain's Got Talent.
No, it hasn't.
8.65 million watching. Apparently, there was a woman on there who was a vocal actor on Big Finish.
Yes.
She was an impressionist. She got through, but I just thought about that. Doctor Who was BBC One's second highest rated show for the evening, just behind All Round Mrs. Brown, which had 4.67 million, and it just beat Pointless Celebrities, which had 4.34 million, watching Casualty. Ooh, better than Casualty, which is really good, at 3.48. And Casualty's a long-running, very popular show.
Very popular, yeah.
So, yeah, And there's furthermores, because obviously it's not been reported on there because it's not been confirmed, but it's heavy rumours that Chris Marshall will be the
very
next Doctor.
Very heavy rumours, yeah.
Everyone's saying Chris Marshall.
Yeah. People are saying it, but I'd like... everyone was then talking about Tilda Swinton. Obviously, you shared that thing as well.
It will not be...
No, it won't be first, but, yeah, they're coming.
Well, I personally hope it's... I hope the rumours are correct, because I do like Chris Marshall. I think he's got that weird alienness.
I don't know who that is.
Tough. Well,
I loved him in My Family. He was amazing in that.
He made the show. When he left, it sort of went a bit downhill, and then it ran for about 10 years after he left. It was a bit weird.
He came back every now and then, didn't he? Yeah.
I don't remember him coming back.
He came back a couple of times for specials.
But he was good. Yeah, and he's also in Love Actually and he's obviously more recently in the series we used to watch.
For American fans, he's a well-known actor.
Death in Paradise. Yeah.
So, Death in Paradise has been on PBS here.
It's a great show.
But I never watched it.
Great show. The original character in it was played by Ben Miller, but Ben Miller's character got killed and the murder investigation was done by Chris Marshall's character, who then stayed in it for about 3 years, which I think what he's going to do with Doctor Who, if we're lucky. Mm-hmm. If he's actually going to be named as a Doctor. But, yeah. And we did discuss
when are
we
finding this out
officially?
On the
show a while back. Yeah, I did mention Chris Marshall as being a possible
Doctor. He was cited from the... He's been sort of mentioned from the beginning, but it's not been confirmed.
So I
then
posted...
Returning back to the kind of David Tennant style...
Possibly. He is very good. He's very good at doing the comedy and then suddenly the
he can turn on a sixpence with the attitude and the comedy to the almost threatening.
And also this character in Death in Paradise is very Doctor-esque, the way he's got that weirdness and the way he solves things. You could place that with the Doctor quite well. Anyway, so I posted, if Chris Marshall is confirmed as the new Doctor, this is good news, in my opinion. He's a good actor with screen presence. He certainly has got screen presence. What is Kirby doing?
What are you doing, Kirby?
Hang on, what?
Kirby's given up.
did we interrupt?
No, I got a phone call. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Okay, so
turn your phone off.
Place your pizza order, Kirby.
What?
You place your pizza order there.
Yeah. Alicia will be coming in afterwards.
The Red Cross was calling me to try and get me
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
The Red Cross wants me to donate blood again.
Oh, okay.
Squeeze, you Kirby.
God,
I'm O negative, so they want me.
Yeah, I'm O positive, actually.
My mum's O negative.
Well, I'm O positive. I've done 57 now.
Why are we talking about blood? Right. Anyway, right.
Family of blood. There you go. Back to Doctor Who.
Back to Doctor Who. Right. I thought about Chris Marshall.
At least I muted the microphone.
No, you didn't.
You didn't actually.
No, you got off.
No, Kirby, you're signed up next Tuesday morning,
10:15. Yeah. We'll set you a reminder.
I thought I muted it.
Nope, didn't.
Is this not muted now?
No.
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 Can I get on? We're talking Chris Marshall here.
That tells me it's using the wrong microphone. How's my sound then?
Brilliant.
Yes, it's superfluous to what I'm trying to talk about at the moment.
Would you care for some tea?
Anyway, right, you were talking about Chris Marshall. Jeff Waddle says, told you, at last I'm ginger, in inverted commas. Then I said I predict no more than 2 series with him at the helm, though. Jeff Waddle said, 2 if you're a gap year. If you get a gap year, 3 if regular.
If you get a gap of a year, yeah.
Then Jeff Waddle said, Tennant, Stroke Smith, awkwardness and geekiness for the win with the BBC.
Yeah, I agree completely,
Robert McIntyre says, I would be happy if Chris is a new Doctor. Billy Kirkbright said, don't know this guy, but personally speaking, I'm glad the Doctor is still portrayed by a he.
Yes.
Jeff Waddle said, he is very good in Death in Paradise, Matt Smith-ish. Billy Kirkbright, interesting, I've never seen him as I don't watch a lot of telly, but I hear he's a good actor. Jeff Waddle then says, walks about with his hands in his pockets like Tennant, socially awkward, at least his character was, bit geeky, quite good looking, in a funny way, something for everyone. A good description, actually. Billy Kirkbright said, Jeff Waddle, I thought all the actors who have played the Doctor have bought something positive. I presume the new guy, at least, would be no different. At best, he will be brilliant. Very good comment.
Ben Shoveler
says, I think he'd be good too.
Oh!
Reese Parson says, completely agreed. Look at that.
The Kirby Reese of is, blood.
Reese is agreeing with Ben. Completely agreed. He has the acting ability and quirk required.
That never happens.
Duncan Nifton said yes. Alan T. Butcher said, hope you guys are right. For now, I am in denial, so I think he's a fake out. Kirby Bartlett Sloane. No, I don't want to hear what he says.
I haven't even seen this room. Where is it?
Yeah, that's enough of that.
Anti Butcher has posted.
It wasn't just in the Sun.
The Kirby of Blood.
Yeah, the rumour wasn't just in the Sun, by the way. It was in the Mirror and various other social platforms. So it's quite a strong rumour.
This is real strange.
Is it? It's real strange, apparently.
Has he muted himself now?
Oh, good. Thank goodness for that.
It's worked this time.
Yeah. Want to wind up.
I must not have turned the switch all the way off.
You mustn't, strange. You naughty boy. Oh, dear.
Which one are you going for?
I was
going
to try Who Won, but I didn't put enough O's in it.
I've got Who Won right here.
I don't care. I've got.
Is that Who Won UK?
Yeah, I still got our logo on it. I nearly called you Mary.
Mary, yeah.
DWM511 is out. You can get it much quicker if you get it through whowon.co.uk. And also, it previews the pilot and Smile and Thin Ice.
Mind of Evil by Dix Terrence.
Pardon?
Dix Terrence.
Companion. By Craig Donaghy.
Craig Donaghy.
Yeah. And Torchwood One Before the Fall, which is a CD collection of Torchwood One stories with.
Is that Before the Fall or before the Autumn?
Yvonne Hartman's in it. It's before.
Barrowman. I did my duty.
Yeah. And there's a DWM Special Robots as well, which is...
Oh, I got to pick that one up.
And did you get the DWM 510, which was a tribute to John Hurt?
No, I haven't got that one
John
yet.
John Hurt, no. Coming soon, we've got Alien Heart and Dalek Soul, which is a big Finnish Fifth Doctor story.
Cool.
The Dalek Teapot. That's not coming soon. I've got that Dalek
I like teapot. The espresso cups you can get. They're pretty cool.
I've got that Dalek.
Isn't this nice? Have you guys noticed I can actually go to web pages and you can still hear me?
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. You haven't just gone deep.
Something we've all been doing for years and Kirby's all excited about.
Yeah. Bless.
And a story called
Welcome
Death Rass.
21st century.
It's a Fourth Doctor story called Death Rass with Romana, Lala Ward Romana. And she's in this one too, funny enough.
Castle.
Yes, I must listen. I only bought that because I wanted to get the badge, the Big Finish badge on my coat. That was the bribe. I had to buy a Big Finish story, so I decided to get that one. Have you listened to that one, Mary?
The Labyrinth of Buda Castle? Or Buda?
No, I haven't.
Oh, good.
No.
I'll have to listen to it before you get to it.
I will, though. I've got it. I just haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, okay. Diamond Dogs, Diary of Riversong 2. That's obviously with River Song featuring with the Sixth Doctor. And there's some novels as well, with the Plague City. These are 12 Doctor novels and Shining Man. So all these things are ready for pre-order at whowon.co.uk, along with the TARDIS umbrella, which is rather cool. And Visiting Hours, which is a Torchwood play featuring by David Llewellyn, but featuring, I think, it's the husband of Eve Miles' character.
Ian? No, is it Ian?
What? Gwen's husband?
The husband, yeah.
I don't think it's called Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Reese, wasn't it?
No idea.
It's Reese.
It's Reese.
Reese.
So that's it. Also, we have the Vasi, which we must talk about.
There's Doctor Who ballpoint.
Yes, we have to talk about
Red
my favourite of our sponsors.
Cool. Found your birthday present.
Kirby's favourite sponsors, La Vasi. And I'm not going to say any of these people
I've
are favourite sponsors.
I've just found your birthday present.
Yeah, so I won't ever get that then, will I?
By now.
Kirby's just stood up. So we've got Vera Scarves, Dalek,
and he's
Fourth
got Nick.
Doctor, and he's scratching like a blooming bear, isn't it? 18th Doctor. 18th Doctor Scarf.
Doctor. Oh, we have
18th Scarf. The shorter version of the Fourth Doctor Scarf. Some Paisley hankies and... that's a cravat, really, isn't it?
It's a cravat.
Yes. And obviously Christmas.
Not my one there, look.
Is that your one? Yeah. Deb's got the TARDIS scarf, which she actually acquired directly from Melinda.
Oh, fantastic.
But you didn't know that because I bought it at the time. No, Deb was really jealous. We were upstairs, she wanted it. But she doesn't like Doctor Who, so why? And
she likes collecting.
Pandorica opened. That's because I bought you something and I heard something. That's what it was. So, yes, that's it. That's our sponsors. And we managed to finally get to the end of the episode. I can't believe it after all this.
Yeah.
Right, what's the next one? Hours, next week's one's called?
How do we manage to do a 45-minute episode
taking over 2 hours?
I was just going to ask the same thing, Andy. How do we manage this?
Smile, is it? Smile, the next story? Kirby will know.
Smile. Is it Smile?
I hope that's not interfered with my microphone. You'll be in serious trouble if it has. Like, hold on, but listening to it back, be going...
No, this is Wi-Fi.
I know, but...
No, shut it.
Anyway, right. Yeah, so next week. And it will be next week. Let's check the dates, because have I got anything?
Oh, yeah, let me look.
Because I don't think I have. It'll probably be next Sunday. Yes, I have no weddings next week, so it will be Sunday.
Isla's party next Saturday.
Yeah, thank you for that. So Sunday the 23rd of April, it will be Smile, and it'll probably continue. I might be able to watch the episode of the trip twice the following week. It's when I go away. Oh, that. Yeah, the following
week.
Whose birthday? Isla's birthday.
Shakespeare's birthday.
Oh, Shakespeare.
No, Isla's birthday's on the 28th.
Just to pre-warn you and the listeners. 23rd. Yes, thank you. Just to pre-warn you and the listeners, like I say, next Sunday, the following weekend, it will have to be a Monday.
A bank holiday.
Can't do it.
I'm sorry, but it has to be because I'm away in
it's
Nottingham.
It's a bank holiday. Yeah, Andy, can you do it?
No, we're going to Bridge North. We're visiting the in-laws.
Oh, please send in some audio feedback. But we will be away.
I hope we can do that.
Thank you. We'll be away in Nottingham doing a wedding and then coming back doing another wedding on the Saturday. So I will not be able to find the time to watch Doctor Who and do a podcast on the Sunday. But that's why we do that on Monday.
Here's
trouble.
Monday.
Kirby's about to complain. Yes.
No, I'm not going to complain about the first. It's just that we've got an interesting situation the next week.
Have we?
That's the weekend of Wholanta.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I will be at the convention, but I don't know what my availability is going to be as far as, like, do you want me to set something up in the restaurant like we did with Jason several years ago, where Andy fell asleep? or what?
We'll talk about
it. Oh, well, yeah, why not? Yeah. Try it and see how we get on with it. But I'll still be having to review an episode that some people in the your end might not have seen.
Yeah, also, I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to see it.
Spoilers.
Well, again, I mean, if you want to do that, we will be reviewing the episode. So if it might have to say, well, if you're going to come into this, you may be hearing stuff that you haven't seen or don't want to hear yet, so... But we'll,
I'll see what I can do. I think I'm going to be manning the Kanji tea table.
Oh, okay.
And if I have to sit at that table, I won't have Wi-Fi, so I may not be on at all.
Okay.
It's not like the old
Kobe, we'll then, see. Yeah. I'll let you know as the weekend progresses.
Great.
But
thank you. Yes.
That's where I am going to get my
Perry signed.
Perry signed.
That's what she said.
Yes, I've got a picture of me with Nicola Bryant. She's up there. Someone's turned it around.
I'm wondering what she's going to think of this little thing.
How cool is that?
When you die, can I inherit your collection?
She's probably not seen one of those in 30 years.
What?
The little thing about the Perry thing.
Oh, the Perry thing. Okay. Anyway, so
it's a little lead figure.
It's so cute.
Very nice. In bikini. Lovely. Right, so thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for watching the show. I hope you enjoyed it. See you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.